I love music. The way that the music and the chords and the notes are woven together to create this masterpiece that can move us. Worship songs like we just sang, and the way that symphonies are intricately woven together and orchestrated to underscore some of our favorite films, our favorite moments in our lives. Music has this power to move us. It's always been a part of my life. I love music, even to the point of it being a minor in my degree in college. And at the risk of sounding like Music Appreciation 101 this morning, I do want to teach you a new word. Because the really cool thing about music is the way that a composer puts together these chords, these notes, these rhythms, that creates this melody for us. There's a term, it's called chord structure. And most times, at the end of a song, it comes back to what we call home. It's this, the notes resolve into this feeling that feels like we're at home. And I could tell you how this feels, and I could try to explain it, or I could just let you hear it. It sounds like this. There's more. We feel that tension. Right now, some of you are very mad at me that I didn't let that song finish out. Because we feel that, don't we? It's this anticipation. It's the almost but not yet, that unresolved chord. And I think for us, this tension that we feel as we long for that, is that's how we find ourselves today, in the almost but the not yet. We long for the resolution of the year to end and the new year to begin. We checked all the mega holiday boxes. Maybe your decorations are still up. Maybe they're already down. But we feel this anticipation of something new, a new year. And yet, we're not there yet. And so in this space, in this moment, in this Sunday, we get to look back over the year that has been and long for what is to come in the new year and what God might do. Good morning, my name is Tarver Reeder, and I'm on staff here at the church. And we're excited, as Cherise said, to be gathered today for our church-wide service, to have our Grow Zone kids and our 56 kids and even our student ministry who are normally here with us gathered in one room. There's something special about gathering from 4 years old to 94 years old all together to worship and to long for what God might do. And this morning, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you have a Bible or a device that you read on, you can turn there. If you have, if you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand. And some of our greeters will be moving around the room to hand out a few of those copies of the Bible. Now, if you are finished with that at the end of the day, you can leave that in a chair right where you are, and our team will pick those up. But if you don't have a Bible that you can easily read and understand, we would encourage you to take this Bible with you as a free gift from us. We believe that the Bible is God's word, and by reading it, we know more about who he is, and in turn, know more about who we are called to be as followers of Jesus. So if you get one of those Bibles, page 952 will take you directly to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this morning. As you're turning there, a little bit of context. This is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. And in the first chapter of the book, he gives heartfelt thanks, and he is thanking them for who they are and just all they've done for him. And we pick up this morning in chapter 2 with Paul remembering his time with them. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. You yourselves know, dear brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how badly we have been treated at Philippi just before we came to you and how much we suffered there. Yet our God gave us the courage to declare his good news to you boldly, in spite of great opposition. So you can see, we were not preaching with any deceit or impure motives or trickery. For we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know, and God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead, we were like children among you. Or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled and earned a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. You see, there are differing opinions among scholars whether this passage is Paul defending himself against some accusations, or if this is Paul holding up the life that he and Silas and Timothy lived as an example to follow. But no matter what the intent is, the call is clear here in verse 4 to live as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. You see, there's a weight to that. It's not flippant language. It's very intentional. It to be entrusted with something that carries a weight for us. And I think if we're honest, in Tupelo, Mississippi, can't we recognize what's happening here? He's reading this. He goes on to explain that says, he follows immediately to our purpose is to please God, not to please people. In our culture, I think I'm honest, I know what that feels like. Do we know what that feels like to strive to please other people? What is our aim here? Because I think if I'm really honest, I didn't really want to talk about this specific verse. I just wanted to skip over that. Because if I look back over the last year of my life, so often I'm striving for other people's approval rather than the approval of God. And so here in this verse, Paul is urging them and saying, that is our aim. That's what we did, and that's what you should do. And I think maybe I'm alone in this, but if we're really honest, we spend a lot of our time, our best resources, our energy, our money, trying to strive for other people's approval rather than God's approval. And I think that most of you probably didn't wake up this morning and say, I'm going to pour a cup of coffee, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to give all of my best energy and resources for that approval. But often, our lives are the culmination of the unintentional choices that shape the future trajectory of our lives. Our lives, the little decisions that we unintentionally make, we don't realize are shaping every single moment of our life and changing the trajectory of our future. And I think here in this passage, Paul is urging them and saying, this is the life you should live. Because the lack of intention and neglect of our calling that Christ has laid in front of us lays a foundation for misguided energy. And so we wake up one day to a life that we don't really know how we got here. We made some intentional choices maybe one time, but these unintentional choices we make build a life that we're unsure how we got here. And so the question I want us to wrestle with this morning is, how do we move from living a life that is unintentional to making intentional choices, lived in the call and the purpose, the life that God has entrusted us with the good news? And so this morning, at the end of a year, there's this natural rhythm where we get the space to reflect and look. It's a perfect time for us to evaluate the way that are we intentional with our spiritual disciplines? And if that word is new to you, it just means the practices, the habits that we as followers of Christ that characterize our life, that we're called to from Scripture. What about Scripture reading? Do we read it not to just say we did, but to let it impact how we live, to shape our lives? We're very specific. If you're around the Orchard, you know in our Bible speech, when we talk about passing out the Bibles, we say that it's God's word, and by reading it, we become more of who God has called us to be. That's not just language that we throw around casually. It's very intentional, because that's what we believe for our lives. So as we talk about spiritual discipline of reading Scripture, what is the plan? This is not just casual. This is intentional. Is there a devotion you're reading? Is there a book you're walking through? If you don't have a place to start, you're like, I really need that, but I don't even know where to start. Our team is going to put a slide on the screen that shows our daily Bible reading. Here at the Orchard, we have a text that will go out every single morning, Monday through Friday, that will send you a passage of Scripture to read. So if you don't know where to start, this is a great place to start. You can text read plan to that number in the bottom, and it'll sign you up free, and you'll get messages every morning. What about our prayer life? Does our prayer life, are we choosing a life that says by our actions, not just our words, that is vital to the very fiber of our life, that our relationship with God fuels everything, not as a last resort, but as our first line of defense? Is our prayer life speaking and moving and the place that we grow from, not the place we move and just grab at last minute as a throw up a Hail Mary prayer. This very breath of our lungs that says it's vital to how we live. Are we intentionally making space and time to pray? Or what about Sabbath? When was the last time that we blocked time to remember that we aren't just the sum of our productivity? When was the last time that we took a breath? In the fast-paced world that we live in, there's so much that happens, this frenzied. I think we all can feel that, especially after a holiday. When was the last time that we stopped to remember that God created us not to just be doers, but as human beings, and let him recreate in us the soul and the heart so that we can in turn live our life in a way that is glorifying to him? These practices shape who we are. And I think I always love a good reference, a resource for us to turn to. The Holly and Glenn Packiam are pastors in California now. They're at Rock Harbor Church. A few years ago, they wrote a book called The Intentional Year, Simple Rhythms for Finding Freedom, Peace, and Purpose. And I love this resource because it's a super accessible guide for you to walk through. They even have like a workbook that goes along with it, but it's just a simple book to help us be intentional about the life we live. And in the book, they kind of divide it into five key spheres, and those are prayer, rest, renewal, relationships, and work. And in those categories, they divide it up this way because those spheres shape who we are becoming. And in their book, they give tons of examples of what an intentional year might look like, intentional steps that we are to follow. And I think for us, as we sit here on this Sunday in this gap between Christmas and New Year's, we get to ask, what are those intentional steps that we need to take? And this doesn't matter what age you are, what season of life you're in. These steps take on many different forms. Maybe for you, you look back and you reflect over this past year and you say, man, I feel more isolated than I've ever felt. I feel I need community. I long for to be known and to know others. So maybe that intentional step for you is to identify yourself and say, hey, I need a group. I need a small group. I need a D group. I need some sort of way to be in community with others. But these steps maybe aren't just for adults. We said the Grow Zone kids are in the room. Maybe for you, even as a young second grader, for you, it may be saying, hey, Mom and Dad, can we do a Bible study together? Can we do a devotional together at night? That may be your intentional step. Or maybe at school, you notice that boy or girl who are kind of on the outskirts or not being talked to or feel isolated. You may intentionally choose to go sit with them or to welcome them in and be aware of that. Or maybe you're a middle school or high school student, and your reflection, your intentional step may be to say, who are the relationships that are really impacting me? Let's really evaluate, how is that changing who I am? Is that in line with this lens? Because if we read from this text, when Paul says that our aim is to please God and to please people, if that becomes our lens, then we begin to run every decision, every moment in our life through that. A practice that they talk about in the book of Intentional Year is an annual retreat. This is simply a time to get away from the normal rhythms of life and to reflect on the past year and discern what God might do in the year ahead. And this could take on many different forms for everybody. This could be just an afternoon away, a cup of coffee or a meal shared with a spouse, or maybe some time you grab with some trusted friends and to do this practice together. But for my house, this has become common practice that every year between Christmas and New Year's, we actually take time to get out of town. We have two really sweet boys that are great, but not a lot of very intentional conversations happen with a very verbal 3-year-old and a 9-month-old. And so today, as every service is in, they'll go with the grandparents, and we will head off to Arkansas just for a couple of days, just to rest and to renew and discern. My wife and I, this has become common practice, but the reality here is it doesn't have to be extravagant. Your next step just has to be intentional. It doesn't matter what it is, it just has to be intentional because it is shaping. These practices has the potential to shape our lives, who we are today and who we are becoming for years to come, because intentionality doesn't happen accidentally. It takes effort. It takes intentional sacrifice. Paul goes on in verse 8 to say, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. I think in Southern culture, we get very used to saying, yeah, we're going to share the good news. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to share what God has done. But oftentimes it stops with the words we say. We check the box, I shared the news. But we don't want to step into the weightiness of sharing our lives. But I think if we're fully grasp all that God has done, the beauty of the Christmas season we just walked through, and as we walk toward Easter in the months ahead, if we understand the gospel, the good news that has been entrusted to us, we can never just stop with words. Our whole lives become what we share with other people. We open up the good, the bad, the hard, the celebrations, the rejoicing, whatever it is, we open up and share every bit of our lives. The way that Paul talks about the way they lived is the challenge for us. And I think personally, I am who I am today because there are people who have accepted that call, that way of living that Paul holds up. They've opened their home, they've opened their tables, their families to share meals. I'm the benefactor of the people who've come before me who said, this is how it looks to live, even in the messiness of life sometimes. This is what it means in those moments to follow God. It's not just words. It's the way I've watched them be faithful in the heaviness and the celebrations. It's the beauty of that. But maybe for you this morning, you hear that with a little bit of uneasiness, and you're like, I don't have that to share. I really need that in my own life more than I have that to share with somebody else. And maybe for you this morning, that intentional step is really to follow Jesus for the first time. That in the new year marks, man, today, let this be a start to say, I long to live a life, to be in fellowship, to walk with Christ in every single aspect of my day. And if that's you, we would love to talk to you about what that looks like. What it looks like to live out these spiritual disciplines and to walk in, maybe your next step is to follow in baptism. Whatever that is, it doesn't matter what it is, it just has to be intentional. No matter where you are on this journey, we can take the next step. Verse 12, Paul goes on to urge them. It's the end of this kind of section we read, and he says, we pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. He's pleading with this importance. It's not for the glory, but for God's kingdom and his glory. This urge, this passion, you can hear it in the way that he writes this. But here's the catch. If we are going to live that way, if we're going to live for Christ's kingdom and his glory, we have to lay down our own kingdom and our own glory. We have to sacrifice the broken attempts at building our own success, our own career, our own financial stability, whatever it is. We have to lay that down in order for us to live in a way that is for God's kingdom. And that's so much easier said than done because it involves sacrifice. We have to willingly surrender. There's an Old Testament passage from Joshua that maybe even if you didn't grow up in church, you know this because it's a phrase that has kind of come up in culture and it's kind of been adopted. You see it in lots of different places. But Joshua is standing here as his final charge to the people of Israel. There's this and kind of anticipation that he's giving, and he's looking at them and reflecting on all that God has done and is looking forward to all that God will do. And in Joshua 24:14, it says, so fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods that your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And as we stand in this gap between Christmas and New Year's, there's this almost but not yet, longing for that resolution, longing for that ending peace that we feel. We feel this anticipation. And the same challenge that Joshua gives to Israel is echoed with the intentionality that Paul says here in 1 Thessalonians. And I think that the reality is the same thing is issued to us this morning. That as we look for a new year, we look to the calendar turning over. There's nothing magical about January 1, but there is something significant. We feel this marking of time. There's nothing sacred about it, but there is this freshness, this newness, this rhythm that we can feel. And I wonder, for us, if we were to take that same challenge this morning, because we get to choose. Will we choose to live an intentional life for His kingdom and His glory, or will we spend our days striving for everything else for our own glory and our own kingdom? What would it look like for us to be intentional with every aspect? See, music moves us. It becomes the soundtrack of our lives. The words become feelings. It gives lyrics to ways that we didn't even know how to articulate the way we feel. And it brings a resolution in our lives that sometimes we aren't even sure that we can feel in our own way. And there's a song that, as I prepared for this time this morning and asked God what we might speak about, and we read scripture, there's a song that I've known for most of my life that has come back to my mind. It's not one we sing regularly, but it's one that has honestly messed with me in a lot of ways. And it's a song called Set a Fire. And they're going to put the lyrics on the screen. It says, "Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God." It's simple, yet it's weighty. It gives this longing. And as I've read and I've prayed over this time together, and as we lean into a new year, there's this feeling that this is the longing that I want, that I want to ask God to do. I want more of Him. I don't want more of my own kingdom, my own striving, my own doing to prove our worth or to prove whatever it is. I long for more of God in 2026. And as we think about these lyrics, there's one line that has messed with me. And it's the line that says that I can't control. As I reflect over the past year, the whites of my knuckles become very apparent in the way that I've tried to control all my own aspects of my life. And I wonder, I may be alone, but I wonder how many of us can look down and see the whites of our knuckles holding on to the things that are stopping us from living a life that God has truly called us to live. What would it look like for this year, for this day, this moment, for us to open our hands and say, God, I just want more of you? Not success, not fame, not knowledge, whatever it is. God, I just want you. I want you to do infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine in my life, in our cities, in our homes, in all around the world. What would happen if we leaned into that and if that became our cry for this year? So in just a moment, Chris and the band are going to come back out, and we're going to sing that song together. We're going to sing that, let that be the anthem of our life today and for the next year. Before we do, I want us to take some time, and I just want to invite you into a posture of prayer. We're going to walk through a few guided prayer things, that things I want us to think through and reflect as we sit on this Sunday and look back over the year. So if you would, find a posture that's comfortable for you. And the first thing I want us to spend some time praying over is simply gratitude. When we reflect on the past year, what are the ways that God has provided for you? What are the things that we can be thankful for? Take a minute and thank God for those things. Places in your life that are lacking intentionality. As we reflect on the past year and look to the new year, ask God to reveal those places in our life that we need to take that intentional step. Those places He might be calling us deeper. your life would benefit from your intentionally choosing to live your life and share not only the good news, but your entire life. We all have influence, whether in our homes, in our cities, in our schools, in our jobs, wherever it is. Would you ask God to reveal those faces of people who would long, who would need, or desperate for you to share not only the good news, but your life? And as God reveals those faces, would you just take some time to pray over them by name? Last thing I want us to pray over is, what are the things that we are grasping onto? What are the things that we can't move forward because we won't let go of? What if we ask God to reveal those things and we actually lay them down today? Maybe for you, it's with a closed fist, you open your hand and raise your palms up to God to say, whatever it is, it's yours. My life is yours to do with what like. God, we thank you for all that you've done this year. We thank you for the opportunity to come this morning to sing deep truths of who you are and how we are to live. God, I'm grateful for your word that convicts and reveals things in my own life that you are inviting me into deeper. God, I pray that as we as a church look to a new year, we don't just go through the motions of another Sunday, another day of work, another Monday of work. God, that we long for you to do more, that we just say we want more of you, not more of our own success, our own power, our own glory, but your glory, that your kingdom would be on earth as it is in heaven, that we long for you to do something mighty in our church and in our city. God, we are thankful. It's in your name we pray. Amen.